And the scripture reading for today is from Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven."
16章13節から19節まで 日本語でお読みします。 さて、ピリポ・カイザリアの地方に行かれた時、イエスは弟子たちに尋ねて言われた。人々は人の子を誰だと言っていますか？彼らは言った。バプテスマのヨハネだという人もあり、エリアだという人もあります。 また他の人たちはエレミアだとか、また預言者の一人だとも言っています。イエスは彼らに言われた。あなた方は私を誰だと言いますか？シモン・ペテロが答えて言った。あなたは生ける神の御子キリストです。するとイエスは彼に答えて言われた。バルヨナ・シモン、あなたは幸いです。 このことをあなたに明らかに示したのは人間ではなく天にいます私の父です。では私もあなたに言います。あなたはペテロです。私はこの岩の上に私の教会を建てます。ハデスの門もそれには打ち勝てません。私はあなたに天の御国の鍵をあげます。何でもあなたが地上でつなぐなら、それは天においてもつながれており、
あなたが地上で解くなら、それは天においても解かれています。Good morning.
Morning.
How are you doing? Good, good, okay. Last Monday, I went to Los Angeles, Ontario, to have a pastor's retreat. And at the pastor's retreat, there was a pastor who was giving away some of his books because he was retiring and he just wanted to get rid of some books. And there was a book called Purpose Driven Church. I don't know if you're familiar with that book, but it's written by Rick Warren. Most of you may know that name. He's a pastor in the Orange County, California, Orange County, one of the biggest churches in America. And I don't know how you feel about Rick Warren. He was in the media and there are some negative things about him. Personally, I like him. And I like him simply because I was at a conference one time and he was one of the speakers. And I saw him walking. It was during free time and he was walking. And I said, "Oh, I'm going to introduce myself." And so I ran up to him and I introduced myself. And he was one of the warmest guy you could meet. He shook my hand and he said, "Oh, you're Japanese." And he said something in Japanese. And for some reason, I was just starstruck. Like, I couldn't say a word back. It's kind of weird. I usually don't get starstruck. You know, growing up in the Los Angeles area, you see stars all the time, and I'm not the one that says, "Oh, look at that, look at that, look at that." It's like, "Oh, it's, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or whatever, you know." But as he shook my hand, and I shook his hand, and he spoke to me, it's like I couldn't get a word out, and I was just like, anyways, that's why I really like him. But he does have some great sermons, great teaching, and just reading through Purpose-Driven Church, it's just, it's really amazing some of the things he says. He, you know, when you think about Rick Warren, you may think of church growth, because he's an expert at church growth. But he says, you know, this book is not about church growth, it's about having a healthy church. church health. That's his concern. He says, if a church is healthy, it would automatically grow. And so today, not that I necessarily think we have an unhealthy church, but it's always good to just get the foundations of a healthy church so that you know what I expect, I know what you expect, we're on the same page when it comes to church. And so I want to speak about foundations of a healthy church today. Before I do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much again that we could come together to worship you. Lord, if all we did was worship you, it'd be worth it. Just coming together as a community, giving you praise, Father. We pray now, Lord, as we continue worship, though, through your word, that you would speak to each and every one of us individually. That your Holy Spirit would give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Father, just as you revealed to Peter a revelation of yourself, we pray now you would do that for us. That we would have a revelation of you, Lord. Not from flesh and blood, not from humans, but through you, God, straight from you, Father. We invite your presence, Lord. We ask that you would fill this place and fill our hearts, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. This teaching isn't explicitly from Rick Warren, but there are some things that I did take out. And in his book, he says, for a church to be healthy, they need to answer these four questions and answer it well. It's why does the church exist? What are we to be as a church? Who and what we are we? What are we to do as a church? What does God want done in the world? And four, how are we to do it? Now, today's message may not cover all of these in detail, but I believe it will cover some of these things. And let me read again from Matthew chapter 16. I won't read the whole thing. I'll just read from verses 15 to 18. But this is one of the first times that Jesus actually used the word church. For those of you who've been in the church long enough, most of you know it's just a church means simply a gathering. That's simply what it means. It just simply means gathering. Matthew 16:15 says this. Jesus says, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of death will not overcome it." And so, there is some debate whether Jesus meant, "Peter, I'm going to build my church on you," or whether it means, "Peter, I'm going to build my church on this confession." Personally, my opinion and just doing my own study, I believe what Jesus was saying, "Peter, on this confession that he makes, Jesus, you are the Messiah, Son of the living God." I believe Jesus was pointing to that confession, saying, "Peter, on that I will build my church." Does that make sense? Because the Catholic Church, they believe it's on Peter himself that the church is built. And so they believe in what they call the apostolic succession, where they believe the Pope today is a direct line of Peter, and on that direct line the church is being built. I just believe through scripture and through just, you know, the different teachings, because not everything taught in scripture is from Peter. You know, Paul does a lot of writing, John does a lot of writing, James does some writing. And so I believe the church, the foundation, is on the confession of Jesus Christ. And so that's what brings us together. in any Christian church, I believe that's the foundation, the cornerstone that should bring people together. Now, of course, there are secondary things, shared history, culture, etc., that may bring people together. But the first and primary, foremost thing that brings us together should be the confession, Jesus Christ is Lord. It breaks every dividing barrier. Even in the first church, when there was a division between Jewish believers and Gentile believers, what brought them together and what allowed them to eat together when prior it was against Jewish custom to eat with a Gentile, what brought them together was the confession of Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so one of the foundations and the most important foundations we come together here is this. We believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, of course, if you don't believe that, it's okay. We invite you anyways. But it's for the purpose of this is what we believe and this is what we want to share with you. Ephesians 2:19-22 says, let's turn there if you have your Bibles. I'd like to read the whole thing. The way I like to memorize some of the books of the Bible is God eats popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, God eats. Anyways, that it helps me. I don't know if it'll help you. So if you're at C, you know, it's G. Anyways, Ephesians 2:19. Let me read. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizen with God's people, and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives. Amen. Again, I believe that the foundation, the reason why we come together here on a Sunday, is simply for the purpose of Jesus. That's our shared experience. Our shared experience with the Lord brings us together. And it's here that we worship Him through singing, through giving, through the teaching of His Word. But if you notice in those two passages, Jesus not only brings us together, but He is the one that's actively building us up. If you notice Matthew 16:18, it says, Jesus says, I will build my church. And in the Ephesian passage, it says in 21, in Him the whole building is joined together and rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place which God lives by His Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. And so there is responsibility on our part. Amen? But eventually, and essentially, what is growing the church is God Himself. Jesus says, I will build my church. Paul says, God has been making it grow. Of course, we still have our part to do, and I believe it's the degree of yieldedness we are to Jesus, the degree that we conform to His image, that helps the growth process, but essentially, it's Jesus' responsibility. But we too also play a part in it. We get to play a part in it. In fact, if it's not growing, it's not, Jesus, what's wrong with you? It's more like, what are we doing wrong? What is it that is in God's way of building it up? You know, there's a lot of traditions, a lot of things that we may be doing wrong that is just blocking the process of growing. But it's Jesus that brings us together, and it's Jesus that builds us up. It's Jesus that allows us to grow in Him. And I believe, again, it's just a continual revelation of Jesus that allows us to grow. If you notice in what Jesus said to Peter, He said, flesh and blood. And I kind of like the Japanese translation. It says, man did not reveal this to you. Ningen, right? Ningen didn't something. I just caught the ningen part. And ningen in Japanese means person. A person didn't reveal this to you, Peter. You know why? Because at that time, people were saying other things. People were saying, oh, Jesus, I think He's a good teacher. People still say that today, right? Oh, Jesus, I think He was just a great prophet. People still say that today. And Peter, contrary to popular belief, he gets this one right. He says, no, you're not any of those things. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the Living God. And Jesus says, wow. It actually surprised Jesus. He says, blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but it was my Father in heaven that gave you this revelation. And so when we come together, a church is built on the foundation of the revelation of God through God. The foundation is a revelation of God, but a revelation from God about Himself. And I believe we continually need that kind of revelation from God. The revelation of Jesus is the starting point. But I believe we need to continue to have revelation about God from God. Does that make sense? Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from His mouth. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from His mouth. I'm just going to go on a little bunny trail, if that's okay. I was doing my own study, and I was just reading that passage, and it's interesting. Because it says, after Jesus fasted, then the devil came, right? And Jesus was hungry. It was after a fast. You know what I do after I fast? I eat. Right? Because it's legal to eat now. When you're fasting, it's not okay to eat because that's what you're doing. You're abstaining from food. After a fast, the first thing I do, I mean, the second the fast is over, what I do is I eat. Jesus, it says after the fast, He was hungry, obviously. And it was okay for Him to eat, right? Because He's not fasting anymore. The devil comes and he says, why don't you just make some bread out of these stones? Where is that illegal to do? Why is that sin? But Jesus says, no. I live off the revelation of my Father, not off of you, Satan. I don't live because of my needs. I don't live because of good ideas. I live simply out of revelation of God. Every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. So if my Father doesn't tell me to do it, I'm not going to do it. Especially when it comes to using miraculous powers. He says, if I don't see my Father doing it, I'm not doing it. If I don't hear my Father saying to do it, I'm not doing it. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good that idea sounds at the time. I'm not going to do it. Every revelation. The church is built on the revelation of the Father, and I believe the church is continually built by that continual revelation from the Father. And it is God who will build His church, and He's actively building His church. And as we see, Peter, after he gives the remarkable statement that you are the Son of God, Jesus says, on this confession, I'm going to build my church. And it's amazing what he says about this church. He says, in 19, it says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He tells the church, there's debate. Is he saying, "I'll give you, Peter, the keys," or is he saying, "I'll give you, church, the keys"? And I believe I'm of the conviction is saying, "I'll give you, the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Again, the church has been given an extraordinary amount of authority and power, which will have eternal significance. I believe that. I thoroughly believe in God's sovereignty. I don't question God's sovereignty. But in His sovereignty, He has given the church great authority, which I believe will have eternal significance. In His sovereignty, He does that. And He says, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." What does that all mean? I don't know. Okay? I just don't. There may be some things that I could assume it means. I believe we have access to heavenly resources in some ways. And we do. Because through prayer, we could go straight to His throne room. We don't have to go through any other medium except Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we can boldly go before the throne of God. That's what the Bible teaches. And so, because we can go to the throne of God, I believe there is access to heavenly resources. And I believe God is telling the church, you need to start putting more demands on heaven. You know, the church has a huge heavenly bank account, and we're not doing anything with it. It's okay. It's okay, I'm fine. I just sniff. I still have a cold. I'm not crying up here. I'm not sniffling. It's not like tears of joy or anything. But we do have that amazing privilege of going before the Lord. And He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's just doing a little bit of study on this. Of course, there are differences in opinion what this means. But I believe binding is stopping. Even, you know, binding up a wound or binding something up. People have used it to bind the devil's works. But I do believe there is a binding, a spiritual binding that the church has authority to do. And it says, what you bind here will be bound in heaven. And a loosing, a releasing, what you release here is released in heaven as well. Now, I don't think that we could flippantly and however we want bind and loose, but I do believe it is a revelation of what God is doing in heaven. And as the church, we become sensitive, again, like I shared about Jesus' temptation, we become sensitive of what God is doing in heaven, it can be released on earth. Jesus, when He was hungry, it was okay for Him to eat, and He certainly had the power to make bread out of stone. He did not loose that in the earth. He could have loosed it. He could have said, okay, bread, stone, turn to bread. And it would have been beyond bread. It would have been better than bread. You know? It's a Tucson joke. Anyways, it would have been an amazing piece of bread, but He didn't see that in heaven. He didn't see God doing that. And so He didn't loose it. And so a lot of times, binding and loosing
we may think as a church, we have, we can, and let me tell you, I believe the church does have a great amount of authority and power, but essentially, if God isn't doing it, we could pray all we want and it might not happen. But if God is doing it and we don't release it, it might not happen either. You get that? There are something that God wants released in this earth. And is waiting for somebody, even some church, to align with what's happening in heaven. But if the church doesn't align itself with heaven, it won't get released on earth. Or he might just go to another church. Or, and I'm not saying that, I'm like treading on heresy right now, let me just tell you. Or, he might just pick another people group. Isn't that what he did with Israel? He said, okay, Israel, you're not doing what I wanted you to do. You are my chosen people. Now I'm going to go to the Gentiles. I mean, it was always his heart to go to the Gentiles. But he wanted to go to the Gentiles through the Jewish people. And essentially he did, because the first disciples were Jewish. But the nation itself suffered a lot, because they rejected the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so, as we come to church, the four questions I asked earlier, or that we looked at earlier, why does the church exist? Well, we exist because of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus. There isn't any other organization that comes together because of the revelation of Jesus. That's the church itself. What are we to be? That we will have to talk more in depth about. And what are we to do as a church? Again, more in depth, but you know, as a church, I believe we align ourselves with what heaven is doing and release it on earth. We could get into more detail about that. And we didn't even touch on for how are we to do it. But let me just close with this. How are we to do it? We are to do it through the power of God, with the love of God. Because there is so much power in God, it's so important that we have the character of God. Because without the character of God, and we have the power of God, oh my gosh, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so it's important that we have that character in place. And so throughout these next couple of weeks, I'd like to talk more about our purpose here as a church. And hopefully as we do that, we could grow into becoming a healthy church that does the will of the Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Jesus, we come together because of you. And we just pray, Father, that you will continually give us greater revelation of yourself, of your Son. Scripture says you're interceding on our behalf. And Father, I pray that you would give us revelation on what exactly Jesus is interceding, what he is saying. That will be very helpful for us, Lord. Pray that you will continue to open the eyes of our hearts and give us greater depth of revelation, understanding, knowledge, wisdom, that we may walk according to your ways and loose and bind that which you are loosing and binding in heaven. May it be released here on earth. May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. We thank you so much for the grace again to come together. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to watch over us throughout this week. We thank you. We love you, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.